Hi, I'm Sean. I've always been curious about the answers to life's big questions. I thought it would be cool to seek some of those answers through conversations with others on a similar path. My intention with these conversations is to inspire you to think bigger, to challenge what you believe to be possible. I'd like to invite you to think outside the lines. Happy New Year, and welcome to the Think Outside the Lines podcast, where we feature thought-provoking and inspiring conversation with guests who are doing their part to make the world a better place. Now, I like to start off each episode with just a moment of gratitude. I do this because I truly believe it's the best way to live in the moment, and that you can't ask the universe for anything if you can't appreciate what you already have. So take just a moment and say thank you for some blessing in your life today. Now, before we get started today, I want to tell you about another project I've been working on. Some friends and I have launched a new podcast. It's called The Martini Scale, and we discuss film. It's a huge passion of mine, and I'm really excited to share this new adventure with you. You can learn more about the show over at themartiniscale.com, and of course, you can subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. Now, my guest today is a world-renowned bootcamp Pilates specialist with a decade of experience in the fitness industry. She's certified coaches in over 80 cities across the U.S. and developed fitness programs for over 20 studios across Europe, Africa, Asia, and Australia. More recently, she spent the last year as program director at a Santa Monica tech startup, launching their live stream fitness program. Prior to a career in fitness, she was a fashion designer, competitive rock climber, and a contestant on the 14th season of CBS's Survivor. She is a dear friend of mine, and I've been wanting to introduce you to her for a while now, so I'm really glad that we could finally make it happen. She's joining us today to help us get our new year off to an amazing start with some of her top tips for living your best 2019. It's time to think outside the lines with the lovely Piper Michelle. Tell me what you believe to be the message that you were brought here to share with the world. We're going deep real fast.
I know. I was like, that was really quick. Well, I mean, I think all we can do is learn and teach. So our ability to learn and then teach is our best way to kind of start a fire in ourselves and in anyone else. So if we can share our passions with others and hopefully help them discover something too, that's a pretty strong thing that we're here to do with each other on this world.
We're going to dive into more specifics, but just give us like a brief background of like who you are, what you've done in this world. Just tell us who Piper is.
I've spent the last decade of my life being a master trainer at an international fitness program where I've created the program itself from scratch, including 5 modules for progression, 300 exercise videos, and certified coaches in over 80 cities across the U.S. at 200 locations and at over 20 studios overseas in Europe, Africa, Asia, and Australia. So I've really dove into the fitness world kind of full on and spent my last 10 years helping others kind of find their passion for fitness.
I love it. And it's actually interesting because we're going to talk a little bit about fitness today, but I actually, a little piece of trivia about you. I knew you for more than 6 months. We used to work together, and it was until like 6 months into knowing you that I learned that you were actually a contestant on Survivor. And not just a contestant, but like a popular contestant with like a fan base and stuff. Tell us about that.
Yeah. It's usually not the story I lead with. So I was on, which is funny for me to actually be like, that's not the most interesting thing I think about myself,
totally.
Which I think is great.
Yeah, because, for sure. I agree.
You know, I was on the 14th season of CBS's Survivor. It was filmed in Fiji. At the time, I was actually the youngest contestant they had ever let on the show.
Oh, wow.
So that was pretty rad. You know, at the time I was in college, I was also rock climbing a lot. So trying to stay under the radar, just a young college student without kind of showing all my cards of being really athletic. But, you know, kind of if you're into Survivor trivia, typically after the merge, when the two tribes become one, that's when you usually vote off the strongest, buffest guy on the tribe. And for the first time since the first season, I was the one voted off at the merge.
Interesting.
Well, I have to say, my actually the shining moment of when I was on Survivor, what I'm most well known for, other than starting a fire with glasses, is there was a challenge where everyone is blindfolded except for me. Like, I'm supposed to be the eyes, and so I'm shouting instructions to my team while standing on a 6-foot-tall platform and not looking at where I'm going. I literally step one step too far to the right and fall off the 6-foot platform in the challenge where everyone else is literally blindfolded.
Oh my
And
God.
it's one of those moments where you're like, I just fell in front of 12 million people, but the eight people in front of me have no idea what just happened.
So one of the things, so you mentioned like 12 million people watch the show. I would imagine that you become an instant celebrity, especially when you're back into the world afterward. What is the experience like, and were you prepared to deal with that?
Well, they don't put you through any kind of formal training on what to do when you start getting recognized on the street.
Yeah,
And
totally.
I mean, yeah, I was pretty recognizable. I had a whole head of dreadlocks at the time,
Oh my
too.
God, you
So,
did?
yeah. So, walking around Cincinnati, Ohio with a bunch of dreadlocks, it's tough. But I mean, it was neat because the thing is, what's so great about the show Survivor is that the fan base is awesome. Like, the fans love the show. They remember us as the characters and what we did and what we said. And I think it helps that when I was on the show, I wasn't really that mean. I'm not really mean in real life, so it makes sense that I'm not mean on the show. I think those of them that really showed their not best selves had a harder
I
time.
think that that's probably like the least reality, or maybe the most reality-based reality show. But like, what did you feel you were able to be yourself in that experience? Or
Yeah, actually, and that's a funny way of putting it because it's almost like the most
yeah, I guess
reality
reflecting on
show.
it actually is, yeah.
Yeah, there's no script. They really do dump you out on the desert. There's no secret food or anything like that. And you're just there with your tribe mates trying to be as, just literally trying to survive. So, you think about how grumpy you get after you miss one meal or have one bad night of sleep.
Yes.
Try doing that for a month and then being your best self around people. So it kind of strips you of all your own abilities to kind of control your temper, control your emotions, because you're really at hanging on by a thread. And so what I was really surprised about for myself is just how resilient I am. I was 22 at the time, and it's not like, oh, I had a my family that I was like looking to for inspiration or a kid or this and that. It was just me. And I was actually really impressed with myself that being, what I would consider a self-driven person when stripped of food and comfort and sleep, I'm like, oh yeah, I still feel like I can count on me, and get through and not break down.
Yeah, for sure. What was your biggest takeaway, would you say, from that experience?
So my biggest takeaway from the Survivor experience actually is it's really impressive what the human body can go through. Another piece of Survivor trivia is at the time I was on the losingest tribe in Survivor history. So
Well,
yeah, 0-for-9,
that's an
and
accomplishment in itself, right?
I don't really know. It's not, I don't know if I would brag about that so much, but here I am bringing it up now. But in order to like win over any comforts, even just having fire so you can boil water, you have to actually win challenges or make it on your own. And so I was really impressed that you really don't need to eat as much as you think you do, and you can go without water a little bit longer than you think you can.
Yeah, that's cool. So one of the things I have to say about you, and this episode's actually been quite a long time in the making. We've been talking about having this chat forever, but one of my favorite things about you, and I'm actually going to like default to an Oprah quote. I don't think Oprah originated the quote, but she says it all the time. She says that you're responsible for the energy that you bring into a room. And I think that I want to say thank you. Like, I've known you almost, what, a year now, and I feel like you always bring such amazing energy to every space that you enter. And I think that that's a really just a testament to like your character and the type of person you are. But like, I really love that about you. And I would say that like, that's my favorite quality in a human. And I think that you possess it in spades. So I'm excited for people to get to meet you today and learn more about you.
Oh, Sean, I'm blushing.
So,
Thank you.
because you have such amazing energy, I do want to know, like, is that something that you're really intentional with? And is it part of how you start your day? Like, do you have a morning routine? Like, walk us through how you show up in the world.
So I guess I do have a pretty like sunny and upbeat demeanor. It's not a conscious thing though. I'm just generally pretty excited and pretty positive. I think the chance to get to like learn and experience things is enough to be excited about. So I'm not really a morning person, despite being a fitness instructor. Being a fitness instructor makes you a morning person because if you have a 6 a.m. class, you're showing up for your team. So
I would imagine
that
you
kind
don't
of
have a choice.
you have no choice. You basically have no choice. You can earn your stripes and tell your, studio owners you don't want to teach 6 a.m. anymore. But it's always actually inspiring every time I show up for class because you have the people that came of their own will to, oftentimes paying to be there, arranging their day around it, and you get to deliver, at least take an hour of their time and deliver a great experience. And so to me, like that's exciting on its own. There, you don't need to give yourself a pep talk for that. That just in itself is really awesome.
Yeah, for
And
sure.
so yeah, when it comes to day after day, it's like I'm kind of slow to wake up if I don't have anywhere to be, but it's very rare that I wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
I believe that about you. So my objective with the show is really to just help people live their best lives. And today you're actually going to share some of your top tips for living your best 2019. And I'm so excited to dive in. So give us a little background about how you came up with this list, and let's talk about some of them.
So, when we were talking about this episode and talking about like tips for living your best 2019, it's a really exciting opportunity. But as I started to sit down and think about it, I was getting a little bit overwhelmed because here I am trying to tell people how I think they should live their best 2019. And so, having a little time to reframe, I think these are seven tips that I plan on taking into my very best 2019. All of these tips are from personal experience. Like I said, I love learning from the things I've done. It's rare that I get it right the first time. And the fact that a lot of us are so fortunate to get the opportunity to do over a lot of things. These are my seven tips based
Cool.
on personal experience.
And I like that it's expertise with a dash of humility.
You can call it that.
Right, so what's your first one for us?
Okay, tip number one. In 2019, remember to take baby steps. I think it's this time of year that we think of a lot of big goals and a lot of big plans, and we get overwhelmed. It's hard to think about how we're going to get from point A all the way to point Z. And without acknowledging that little baby steps are what makes up the big picture at the end, it's hard to get started. And this is something I work with a lot in fitness because, if an instructor is telling you, hey, give me 10 push-ups, it's actually absolutely fine to do one push-up, two push-ups, maybe no push-ups, maybe you just hold a plank. And that's great. It's these little baby steps that I think, even when you're presented with a big, overwhelming goal, remembering that baby steps are the first steps to get you closer, and getting closer is all we're asking for.
Yeah, I actually love that one because I think, especially in regard to fitness, I think there's probably people listening right now who might want to, make something fitness oriented a resolution of theirs this year. But I think that the biggest mistake that we often make is in getting started, we have this expectation of like, oh my God, I have to be to, point Z in 2 weeks, when to your point, you're probably not going to be. And so you're going to have to take little steps to get there. And the acknowledgement of that, I think, is so important, right?
Yeah, I think when it comes to even like the easiest baby steps for your own health and wellness, like, you could say drink more water, but literally just drink one more glass of water each day for the first month,
Yeah, you don't need to walk
and
around with a gallon.
totally. Yeah, don't be that person with a gallon. And even if you're like, oh, I should be getting more sleep, if you usually only get 6 hours sleep, don't expect to jump to 8 hours overnight. Just set your, timers so that you go to bed 5 minutes earlier week after week.
Love it. Number two, I think, might be my favorite.
Okay. Number two is let yourself make mistakes. I mean, I know I'm the kind of person who gets really hard on themselves after they've made a mistake. And I think there's a certain amount of healthy postmortem you should have when you've made an error. But, you know, this actually took me years to kind of embrace the way that I think helps me best. So going back to Survivor, when I got voted off, the episode that I got voted off on, our teams had already merged, and Jeff Probst was going around asking each person why you might vote off another person or why you might vote off another person. I tend to answer things really straightforwardly. It's a bit of a blessing and a curse. And so at that time, when Jeff Probst asked me, why would you vote off this person? I actually answered the question. And when he asked, why would you vote off this person? I actually answered the question. Not aggressively and not abrasively, but just as a matter of fact. I do think part of that did cost me staying on the show, because some of those people actually thought, oh, she might vote me out tonight, and then wrote my name down on that piece of paper. So, you know, playing that back in my head again and again, there's always that, oh, I should have done this. I should have said that. I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, all that did was put me in a place that didn't help me grow. I had to realize I didn't have the knowledge that I have now. So it's really unfair to put that pressure. You know, all you can do is work with what you have in front of you. And so I wasn't making arbitrary decisions. I was reacting to exactly what was in front of me. So when it comes to letting yourself make mistakes, it's understanding that you're always making the best decisions that you can at the time. And if you've made a mistake, it's better than not making a decision at all.
Totally. And I think, too, like, we are our own worst critics, right? And so I think that, like, that's why this one resonates so much with me, because we are so hard on ourselves all the time. And it's, You have to come to peace sometimes with the idea that, like, you did the best you could. And if it's a mistake that resulted from that, like, that's part of life, right?
Yeah.
I think that blends in with number three.
Yeah. You know, I was going through this list. Number three is letting go of ego. You know, there's lots of literature out there about how ego is the enemy. But, you know, from my experience and for me personally, as I used to be a former professional rock climber, competitive and sponsored athlete, you know, I am far from being at the height of my game now, a decade later. So when it comes to ego, I find myself, when I was getting back into rock climbing after time off, I had this expectation of being where I had left off, you know, and forgetting that where I had left off, you know, took hours and days and years of training to get there. And so when it comes to ego, especially when it comes to climbing and other athletic sport, I would not allow myself to do things that would actually help me grow because I felt like they were beneath the level that I should be at or that I thought in my head I was at. And when it comes down to it, our ability to evaluate what we can do at that moment, at this current time, is our most important skill in making improvements. You know, we tend to make these failures based on ego when we think, oh, I used to be able to do this, or I could do that, and not assessing where you're at today and letting go of the past.
Yeah, I love that. I think surrender is critical in life. And I think if we could do more of that, whether it's ego, whatever, I think we'd be happier. Mm-hmm. I may have lied because number four might actually be my favorite one.
Ooh, well, I like this. I like that you like these.
I love all of them, actually.
Okay, so number four, be honest about what you want. You know, for me, this relates to when I left my career in fashion design for fitness. I actually went to college for fashion design. I used to live in New York to do it. I lived in San Francisco. That's actually what brought me to Los Angeles in the first place. And you have to be really honest with yourself about what makes you happy and what you want to do. And so I remember talking about wanting to leave fashion and going into fitness and that I want to do this and I want to do that. But my actions were not following what I was saying. You know, for people who say, oh, I have this great idea, I'm going to start my own company, I'm going to leave my job. You know, the only thing you can do to really show how honest you are about it is to then start doing it. I tend to be a pretty risk adverse person, but I'd say that some people are bad at assessing risk. And so when it came down to it, I kept saying I was going to leave fashion and do fitness. And the second that I actually did it, then I felt like I was really being honest, that I was being truthful to what I was saying, what I was doing. So not just being honest about what you want, but then, you know, taking action as proof.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like we could probably do an entire episode on this one alone. I think, so what's really interesting is like New Year is typically associated with like, you know, fresh starts, resolutions, et cetera. And I think that this is a really important one because this resonated with me because I'm personally at a crossroads in my life, as you know, and like I'm trying to figure out kind of like what the next move is. And it's hard for me to reconcile what I have done in the past, right? Like where my experience lies, et cetera, with what my soul wants and what I truly want, if I'm honest with myself. And I look at this as such a blessing because I get to make those choices and I get to kind of like, you know, go down that path of uncertainty and try to be as enthusiastic as possible. But I think that more people need to take those opportunities, even if they're not, you know, as aggressive in their face. But just really think about like, what is it you truly want? And if you have a career in fashion, but your passion is not that, it's in fitness, like what can you do to take those steps to get there? And I wish that more people would ask these kind of questions in their lives, because I think that it's really important key to being happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
What if I can ask like you personally, like what was that transition like for you? Like was there like an inciting incident that said, I have to get out of this and go live my passion? Or was it more gradual? Like, tell us about your experience in that realm.
There was. I mean, it was gradual to one big incident. So, you know, I actually love what I was doing in fashion design. And I actually really appreciate and love a lot of the people that I met in it. But there was something about it that wasn't making me very happy. At the time, I was working at a great company, but I was attributing it to maybe it was the company. And so I had actually went out and interviewed at a bunch of different companies, got job offers to pick from, and didn't want to take any of them. You know, despite more pay, better titles, you know, better location, I wasn't like, oh yeah, I want to jump at this offer. So that was a red flag to me. And I'm like, oh, my assessment of maybe it was the company I was working for wasn't making me happy. You know, that ended up not being the case given all the opportunities. So, you know, the event that really like triggered it, that gave me the courage to leave is, you know, there is an incident at work that needed to be investigated. And I didn't really feel very comfortable being a part of that. And so when I went home and really thought about how fashion in general was making me feel, and it had nothing to do with the company or the job, but this event gave me the ability to step back and look at it. I actually sent in my resignation letter that evening and literally felt like so much freer, 1,000 pounds lighter. You know, maybe if people are looking for weight loss resolutions in 2019, that's the thing.
I love it. And I think there really is importance in congruency with, you know, what you want and what you feel and what you're pursuing. And I think that if all those things are congruent, then that's how you achieve actual success in life.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to talking about the things we want, we always have to assess like the work that we're willing to put in to do it.
Totally. That's critical. Number five actually might be tied with number four is my favorite. I keep lying to you. But I think this is a big one. And this is something you could do like literally today to get started.
Absolutely. Number five is to express gratitude. You know, I could tell you about that. Studies prove that expressing gratitude, you know, makes you a happier person, but even from my own personal experience, I know that expressing gratitude is a skill. We think about it, you know, as we're growing up, a lot of adolescents, and I'm totally in this category, we're not really good at expressing gratitude because it's almost like an attack on your independence. You know, when you're a teenager, you're in this point where you're trying to prove that you can do things on your own. So actually thanking your parents and thanking your mentors and people that challenge and support you is almost a bit of an affront to your proof of independence. But for us as grownups now, and for me as a, you know, professional teacher, it makes the world of impact when my students express their gratitude after a course or anything that I said or did. It literally, like, I keep all the note cards, I keep the thoughts and with me all the time. And what I've learned as a teacher is, you know, really trying to be as genuine as I'm able to with my students to tell them, you know, thanks for showing up. Thanks for being here. And a lot of times I tell my students, you know, I wouldn't be here without you, which is both, like, you know, in reality, very true. If they didn't come, I probably wouldn't show up either, but that I show up for them too, that they are what motivates me every day. And so, you know, especially when it comes to staying motivated and staying accountable, it's like, you have to thank the people around you that keep you accountable. And for me, it's my students, it's my peers.
I actually think there's two layers to this. And one of them is kind of what you're articulating, which is tell the people in your life, whether it's, you know, a workout coach, whether it's a peer or whatever, like, that you're grateful for their contribution to whether it's your life, the project, whatever. Any time in my life that I have ever done that, it has been, like, exponentially rewarding. Sometimes you're apprehensive and you're like, oh, this feels weird. Like, I feel like they should know this already or whatever. But, like, really taking that moment to express that gratitude is so impactful. And I can tell, like, on the receiving end of that, like, there's been times when someone sent me, like, a thank you card or, you know, whatever. And I have those things today. You know what I mean? Like, I kept those because they meant so much to me. And so I do think that, you know, gratitude is, it's such a simple thing, but it can be so impactful in our lives. And
it's such a simple thing, and yet it's so hard for so many of us because it's not a habit. It's not
well, natural. And that's the second layer that I wanted to kind of dive into, is because I think if you can get in the habit of expressing it in your own life, and a really easy thing that you can do, and a lot of, like, personal development, you know, books and teachers talk about this, but keeping a gratitude journal. I try to, you know, every morning when I wake up, if I can write it down, I will, but I literally have reminders on my phone throughout the day that just, it says gratitude. And I try whenever I can to stop in those moments and just think of three things in that moment that I'm grateful for. And they can be really simple things, like, you know, I'm outside on a great walk, or I have this great friend next to me, or whatever. And it can be really complex things too. But if you can start to practice those things, like, in your own life, it's going to be much easier for you to express them outwardly. All right, let's move on to number six.
Good. So number six is to share your ideas. You know, I came up with this as a, you know, top tip for living your best 2019, because a lot of times I think we're hesitant to share our ideas. You know, maybe we're a little self-conscious or nervous of what other people might think. But the reason why I think it's so important is because an idea that you have might be really obvious to you, but really novel to somebody else. I think there's a really important amount of, like, healthy debate and aligning that you need, especially when it comes to work. And you know, we got to work together. And a big part of our culture is to make sure that everyone shares their ideas, to make sure that they got to express their point of view. And then you get to form something that is the strength of everyone who gets to contribute instead of just one person. So when it comes to, like, getting stronger and building a better self, sharing your ideas, you know, at best, all you do is improve on it and fortify what you're thinking.
Yeah, this one actually resonated a lot with me, just because I was, as I was going through your list, I was doing some reflection on, like, the work that we did do together and the company that we worked for together, that things ultimately didn't work out with that. But I wonder if we had been more vocal in certain meetings. Like, I literally was reflecting on just, like, group meetings that we would have. And I don't know that people always were interested in inciting that healthy debate and expressing those ideas. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like, would things have turned out differently if more people were vocal with their ideas?
Yeah. And you know, it's like, I felt like this is a really important thing for me personally to take into 2019, learning from that experience, that, you know, don't hesitate to share your idea and, you know, be conscious of trying to create an environment where other ideas are welcome.
Absolutely. All right, what's the final one? It's a good one.
Okay, so number seven, after this list of things that I think are going to make for an awesome 2019 for at least me personally, I would say number 7 is beware of advice. I mean, all of this is still through my lens and my experience, and the best I can do is help try to teach and share those experiences. But for you, like, only you know what to do to serve yourself well. So take a look back at your own experience and see what's worked and have a little time to reflect on what hasn't. But don't be afraid to stand on the shoulders of others too. So take advice for what it is, you know, don't take it blindly.
I love that. And I think especially in this space where there are so many voices telling you like their best approach or whatever, I think that like my favorite thing about any sort of personal development work, whether it's, you know, fitness, meditation, like what have you, like there are people that have elements of a process that work for them quite well, but maybe there's only like one element of that that works for you, and take that. You know, like just take the things that resonate with you and really build upon those things. And I actually think that this one is probably the most critical one of all of them, because, you know, it's true though. Like we think that like, oh, you're a guru and, you know, you're living your best life. And so in order for me to get, you know, from where I am to where you are, I need to do X, Y, and Z, and maybe only X and Y are going to get you there. You know, like you never truly know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. It's always hard to discern, especially, you know, we're getting hit by advice left and right and with social media and the internet.
So much, yeah.
It's hard to know what works and what doesn't work. And so just take it for what it is.
Just take what you need.
Yeah.
I want to talk about fitness, just touch upon a couple of things really quickly, because I do think that like we alluded to a moment ago, new year, new you, whatever, like people are tend to be in that resolution space where they want to get in shape. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the biggest mistake that people make when they're trying to get started? And also how can someone maintain momentum that they might have going into the new year? Because I know that most of the gyms are empty again by early February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd say when it comes to fitness, consistency is absolutely key. And people don't set themselves up for consistency. And that's the issue, is whether you bite off more than you can chew. And so you are determined to hit the gym 6 days a week. That's going to be really hard to maintain when life starts to catch up with you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the new food prep regimen that you're on is actually too costly to maintain or too time consuming to do. So when it comes to consistency, even just finding something you know you can stick with, something that brings you joy. Even for me as a fitness professional, I find that my favorite fitness classes I take are the ones that I take with friends.
Totally.
That's what keeps me really accountable.
Yeah.
You know, I get to take lots of fitness classes all around LA from a lot of my favorite trainers, but I'm always inviting friends to join with me. And when it comes to working out by myself, it's not my favorite thing to do. So I don't force myself to do squats, push-ups, and sit-ups by myself. I go to the climbing gym. I go take a boxing class. I go surfing. And so do something that's more of a skill that doesn't feel like a workout. That's, you know, that's where my passion is. My passion isn't doing squats and push-ups. My passion is climbing rocks.
Is that anyone's passion, though? Let's be honest.
Well, that's the thing. And people don't set themselves up for consistency by saying, oh, I'm going to do squats 5 times a week. And I'm like, unless you love it, and some people do, I guess.
I have not met that person, but okay.
Yeah, right? It's not a great path to set yourself up for success.
Yeah, agreed. What keeps you motivated?
I think seeing improvement keeps me motivated. You know, if there were a tip number 8, it would be recognizing that progress isn't linear pretty much ever. And so what keeps me motivated is seeing progress, but accepting the challenge. You know, I love being challenged. It's part of the joy of going through things. So recognizing that that's part of the process keeps me going, pushing forward.
Love it.
How about you, Sean? Tell me a little bit about you. What keeps you motivated?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's been interesting. I've had some free time recently, especially over the holidays, to kind of think about obviously what I want going into the new year, and particularly as it pertains to fitness. And I've been going to the gym a lot. I love to go hiking. That's kind of my thing that keeps me motivated, because it doesn't feel like working out to me. And I think that that's actually something that it took me a while to touch upon, because I always thought that like staying in shape had to mean going to like a gym and running on a treadmill and being bored or like what, you know, whatever that looks like. And for me, I was like, no, actually, like I like to be outside in nature. And so that's something that like I actually look forward to that. And it doesn't feel like working out to me. So I think that, you know, to your point, finding things that work for you personally, whether it's working out with friends, whether it's maybe you're the opposite, maybe you only like to work out by yourself, like finding kind of that groove and that niche for yourself personally and just sticking with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, working out sounds so miserable.
It does. Yeah. Especially if you don't do it regularly.
Yeah. They should give that a better name. Nobody is like, oh, I want to go work out.
Well, come up with a better name, Piper. Come on. This is your time. Let's do it.
Yeah. 2019. I'll text you later when I think of what it is.
All right.
We'll add it to the sub notes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have any specific resources that you like, whether it's books, apps, things that maybe help keep you motivated?
One of my favorite books that I've read recently is called The Talent Code by Daniel Coyle.
Oh, haven't heard of that.
And he talks, yeah, it's really, really excellent. It was written in 09, so it's a little bit on the older side, but still modern. And he really talks about being deliberate in what we practice, that we can really like grow our talent and our strength. So oftentimes we think about people who are just born artists or born musicians, but he really talks about breaking down how a lot of the most successful people actually practice to grow that trait in them.
So basically you're saying that I can still become that famous pop star that I've always wanted to be.
Absolutely, Sean. It's not too late. You just have to keep believing, keep practicing.
All right. I like to ask all my guests what has them hopeful. So please tell me, going into the new year, what has you hopeful?
Oh, I have a lot to look forward to in this coming year. I have a lot of great opportunities to travel and train some of my favorite studios, see some incredible trainers around the world. But I'm also starting a new job.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's exciting.
Come January 7th, you know, come talk to me again. You can stalk me on Instagram and see what I'm up to.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. I want to say again, I've always appreciated your light and your energy and just what a remarkable human being you are. And so thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing that and your wisdom with us today. Please tell us how we can connect with you.
So Instagram is going to be the best way to reach me. My handle is Hello Piper Michelle, and I just slide into those DMs.
I love it.
I just want to say thank you so much for always being so inspiring to work with and having me on this show. It's been such a pleasure.
All right. I want to thank Piper so much for joining us today. I'd also like to thank you for listening. Now, if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It is the best way to help new listeners discover the show. And please share this episode with anyone you think could benefit from hearing it. Now, you can always find the links for everything we talk about in the show notes, which can be found over at thinkoutsidethelines.com. And feel free to drop me a line with any questions or feedback on the show. You can send an email anytime to hello@thinkoutsidethelines.com. Until next time, go out there and pursue your passion today, because the best way to predict the future is to create it. For more information, please visit thinkoutsidethelines.com.